What's at stake for consumers in the battle over debit card fees?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Every time you swipe your debit card to make a purchase, the store has to pay a small fee to the banks. Well, the new financial reform law aimed to put a cap on that fee, but there's been a lot of pushback from the banks. And today, the Senate will vote on an amendment from Democrat John Tester to postpone the implementation of that cap. Marketplace's David Gurr reports now from Washington on what this battle means for you and me.
Trade groups for banks and retailers say this is all about consumers.
Now I read that using my debit card, which is so convenient, could become restricted and cost more.
Senator Tester says he's for the consumer, but Tester lets the big banks swipe our money.
But retail analyst Carl Howe says this isn't about us.
The funny thing about this whole argument is consumers will see no change whichever way it goes.
He says banks will continue to do just fine whether or not the government caps swipe fees. And sure, retailers stand to save some money if the government caps them. Billions, in fact. But banking analyst Ron Shevlin says nothing indicates they'd pass those savings on to us.
If Ferrari could pay 3% less for glass for its cars, do you really think that the price of a Ferrari would go down by 3%? Of course not.
Banks and retailers want us to think they're worried about our wallets, when what they're really worried about is their own. In Washington, I'm David Gurra for Marketplace.
President Obama heads to Northern Virginia Community College in Alexandria today to highlight the value of a highly trained workforce. But he's got some convincing to do. A recent study shows 57% of Americans don't think a college degree is good value. For more on this, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, David, as students graduate from college, as they are doing now, if they are able to find a job, which it's hard to do right now, how long do you think they're going to have to work to pay off their college debt?
It's longer and longer, it looks like. According to the figures that are out there, the average amount of debt that a college student is carrying is $23,000.
Wow.
That's an awful lot of money. And that's a big reason that the Pew Research Center has found in their latest study that a majority of Americans say college is just unaffordable and not worth the price.
Not worth the price. That's something we're hearing over and over again now. Is it worth the cost in this economy?
It's an interesting question, especially when you're facing that much debt and such tough prospects for finding a job, not to mention the cost of tuition. The average cost for a four-year public university, about $20,000 a year in tuition. That doesn't even include room and board.
Yeah.
$35,000 a year for a private university. So yeah, that's a lot of money. But I don't know. I look at that Pew number, and I think people are just sort of responding more to these tough times than they are to the actual value of an education. Because let's face it, people with a college education do fare better in the marketplace when they can get a job. They tend to get more money. They tend to have better advancement prospects. So you would think that this education does provide the foundation most people need to advance in the world.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe and Asia this morning. NBC will keep its grips on the broadcast rights to the Olympic Games. The network beat Fox and Disney by bidding about $4.5 billion for the rights to the Olympics through the year 2020. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow didn't make gold, silver, or bronze. It dropped 19 points to close at 12,070.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
Nintendo has unveiled its latest gaming system, the Wii U. It won't be available for another year or so, but even so, analysts aren't sure it'll be enough to win back gamers from rivals Sony and Microsoft. The unveiling of the Wii U happened at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, also known as E3, here in Los Angeles. Our tech reporter Steve Henn has been hanging out there, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first set the scene for us, Steve. What's it like at E3?
It's kind of a madhouse. Fake zombies are climbing the walls. There were real tanks parked in the driveway. I can't play the serious games to save my life, so I've just been creeping up behind gamers like Andrea Leong to watch. Leong's a graphic artist who works in the industry.
So I noticed you were just eaten by a lion.
Yes, I was eaten by a lion. But overall, this game is really, it's actually really fun, and the graphics are really amazing.
What's it called?
Dragon's Dogma.
So, as someone who works in the industry, is working on a game like this the ultimate?
I would say so. It's one of the dreams of anyone who goes into the game industry business is to work on a huge project that's almost epic, like a movie.
Well, how does the size of the video game industry compare to Hollywood?
Well, in 2010, video games for consoles like the Xbox or Nintendo sold more than $10 billion of games. So that's actually almost exactly the same amount of money as Hollywood. But if you add in apps for smartphones and social games for Facebook, that's probably another $5 billion in sales. So by some measures, this is bigger than the movie business.
And when I think of people playing video games, I do think of people that are younger that can figure out these crazy 3D games. Is that right, or is everyone playing them?
A lot of people who grew up playing video games are not so young. The average age of a gamer, according to the industry, is 37. And a lot of the games aren't just about lopping people's heads off. I met a game designer at USC last night that's building a game for Xbox Kinect called Mother Nature, and it lets you control the environment with your gestures.
Wow. Marketplace's Steve Henn here in Los Angeles. Thanks so much.
Sure thing.
And finally, to another new piece of technology being unveiled at a park in Hastings, Minnesota. It's called Sonic Screen, and its purpose is to get teenagers to stop hanging out in the local park and vandalizing the playground. How will it do that? By emitting a high-frequency sound that apparently can only be heard by people under 20. In fact, we're playing the sound right now. Or are we? In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Chinese students spend years studying for intense college entrance exams, but once they get to campus, many of those students lose steam.
Chinese schools are producing this talent. In fact, maybe they're taking some very creative people and making them uncreative. And so this has tremendous economic implications.
I'm Tess Vigeland. What college burnouts mean for the Chinese economy? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.